Saturday morning, the second business session of the Grand Pioneers of Alaska at Seward, Alaska. We'll start shortly.
Well, we were very, very pleased here. cooperate with her action before. Do you hear what you wish to make your announcement now at this time or later?
Mr. Grand President, delegates, and members of the Grand Igloo. As Grand Secretary of the Pioneer Igloo, I, Phil McCammer, wish to apologize to Presidential Chairman William Stokes and his committee for objecting to a standing quorum for delegates and proxies. Last night, Grand Recorder Linda Schaefer, in going over the delegate forms, checking there were several typed incorrectly, delegate forms, which did not conform with the regular forms. As Grand Secretary, I still have on file several old delegate and proxy forms. We'll gladly send some of the same to Chairman Will Stokes. He can contact Selma Smith, Auxiliary for Anchorage of this year's committee for a new bona fide issue, which no Igloo or Auxiliary member can copy. If they are lost, misplaced, or made out in error, the Secretary and President sign our recall. Please accept my apologies, Bill, Selma, Newt, Kerr, and Art.
Long as you saw me to the credentials committee, I was thinking about their suggestions for improvements. And my suggestion has been one that could be short and sweet. Let me see one of those credentials. Oh, go ahead, man, but I can talk about it anyway. It's from you.
And President, I present to the Grand Secretary the resolution drawn up by the Resolution Committee, Resolution Number 1. And we recommend the adoption of this resolution.
I'll have it.
You want to finish that first?
How's that?
You want to finish that first?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll have it right there. Well, on the, I'll get back to the Credentials Committee. On the bottom of the credentials, we can shorten that up by just putting down there, I appoint John Doe, my proxy. That'll cover it and it won't have any work to do. I see nothing illegal about it. If there is, why wouldn't it? Well, we're going to be here for next day, Andrew.
What Igloo is John Doe from?
Oh, he's your brother Richard Rowe. You went to law school, you should know what I'm talking about. Do you have any further correspondence?
This summer, I had a letter from Ketchikan and to each Igloo and to each auxiliary. I extended this invitation from Igloo of 16 and Auxiliary 7 of Ketchikan. Members of Igloo number 16, Pioneers of Alaska of Ketchikan, wish to extend a cordial invitation to the members of your auxiliary or your Igloo to attend the Grand Igloo session to be held in 1961 in Ketchikan. Igloo number 16 will extend this invitation from the floor at the Grand Igloo session to be held in Seward October 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. The members intend to provide the same southeastern hospitality that was very much in evidence during the last convention held in Ketchikan, and feel that they can guarantee an enjoyable time for all who will attend this meeting in the first city and the salmon and pulp capital in Alaska. That was sent from Ketchikan Igloo 16. Then we have from Igloo 15 of Anchorage, signed by Kyle Knoxville, President, and Francis H. Lobby, president of the auxiliary. Dear Grand President, in anticipation of the next annual convention of the Grand Igloo Pioneers of Alaska, the Anchorage Igloo number 15 and auxiliary number 4 do hereby extend their invitation to the Grand Igloo and to all associate igloos and auxiliaries to have the 1961 45th Annual Convention at Anchorage, Alaska. Suggested dates for your approval are September 28th, 29th, and 30th, and October 1st, 1961.
No further correspondence?
No.
Take that question up. Well, take up the invitation to later on in the session. Madam Secretary, would you read the resolution that they presented?
Resolution number one, proposed by Grand President Lester O. Gore, Grand Igloo Convention, October 14, 1960. Proposed amendment to Constitution of the Pioneers of Alaska, title to property. Conveyances of real and personal property of igloos, respected trustees and their successors in office, who shall hold the same in trust for the lawful purposes of igloos and auxiliaries. All of the property and assets of any igloo and auxiliary whose charter has been surrendered or canceled, suspended or revoked shall automatically and without the necessity of written conveyance or bill of sale become the property of the Grand Igloo Pioneers of Alaska, and title thereto shall vest in the Grand Trustees and their successors in office in trust for the uses and purposes which the Grand Igloo shall from time to time determined by appropriate resolution, duly adopted at a convention of the Grand Igloo. Provided, however, that the Grand Trustee shall first apply said property and assets to all obligations and debts of the igloo or auxiliary whose charter is being returned, canceled, suspended, or revoked, the per capita tax or other obligations due the Grand Igloo, and providing further that at the time of voluntary surrendering or canceling the charter, the trustee of any igloo or auxiliary, through his last trustees, may cause his property and assets to be conveyed and transferred by written instrument to any other igloo or auxiliary, and in such event, the trustees of the grantee or vendee shall immediately notify the Grand Igloo that title to the conveyed or transferred property has been accepted, and provided further that any conveyance or transfer of property and assets heretofore made by any such igloo or auxiliary to any other igloo or auxiliary is confirmed and approved. This adoption recommended by the Resolutions Committee, signed by Thor Oswald, Audrey Loftus, Dora Ann Sweeney, Charles Jones, Frank Shellhorn, and W.C. Arnold.
Has the 24-hour period passed since we introduced that?
It was yesterday afternoon.
That was yesterday afternoon. That'll be held up until further time.
Madam President, Resolution Committee turns over Resolution Number 2 for Grand Secretary and recommend adoption of the.
Will you read the resolution, please?
Resolution Number 2, Grand Igloo, October 14, 1960. Submitted by Igloo Number 15, Anchorage. Proposed resolution regarding changes in the Constitution of the Grand Igloo. Article 3, Section 6, reads as follows. Section 6, in case of death, resignation, or inability to act of any of the officers except past Grand President or Grand Vice Presidents, during the interval between sessions of the Grand Interview, the Grand President shall have the power to declare the said office vacant and will fill the same by appointment. It is proposed to delete Section 6 in its entirety and substitute the following. Section 6. In event of death, resignation, or inability to act of the Grand President, the First Vice President, or in the case of his death, resignation, or inability to act, the Second Vice President shall immediately become the Grand President and will immediately assume the office and powers of the Grand President. In event of death, resignation, or inability to act of any Grand Igloo officer, Grand President accepted during the interval between sessions of the Grand Igloo, the Grand President shall have the power to declare such office vacant and will fill the vacant office by appointment. We recommend the adoption of the proposed resolution as amended by this committee, as indicated by the underscored additional words, which were, or in case of his death, resignation, or inability to act, the second Vice President. That was underlined. Signed by the Resolutions Committee, Thorold Oswald, Audrey Loftus, Dora M. Sweeney, Charles Jones, Frank Shellhorn, and W.C. Arnold.
That is the first reading of this. That is the first reading of this resolution. That came in yesterday afternoon.
Yes.
All right. We'll hold that up in the 24-hour period of class.
Mr. Van President, we also present resolution number 3 to the then secretary, and we felt that this
would you like to get before the microphone so that
the committee felt that this resolution should not be adopted. But we want it to be presented before the session.
You want it up for you?
No, just turn it down. Resolution number 3, introduced, read and referred October 14, 1960. Igloo 15, Anchorage. Propose a memorial regarding the Pioneer's home at Sitka. To the Governor of Alaska, to the President of the United States, to the Speaker of the State House of Representatives. Whereas the Pioneer Home at Sitka was originally conceived as a home for the longtime pioneer residents of Alaska, and whereas the eligibility requirement established in 1912 of a minimum of 5 years residence in Alaska was entirely fitting and appropriate for those times and circumstances, and whereas the present eligibility requirement of a minimum of 5 years residence in Alaska has resulted in the population populating the Pioneer's home with a large number of minors, part-time seasonal workers, and other undesirables and unfortunates, to the detriment of other long-time residents of Alaska who are seeking but are unable to gain admission to the Pioneer home now. Therefore, be it resolved that Igloo number 15 of the Pioneers of Alaska go on record as favoring the changes of the eligibility requirements for admission to the Pioneers home from 5 years to 15 years and praise that the State House of Representatives, the State Senator, and the Governor of Alaska will take appropriate action to correct the unfortunate condition which has arisen. October 15, 1960, recommended that this resolution not be adopted. Thorold Oswald, Charles Jones, Dora M. Sweeney, Audrey Loftus, W.C. Arnold, and Frank Shellhorn.
That will come up in its usual order of business. Grand report of the Grand Treasurer.
Yeah.
not crying over this, it's just that I'm getting old, my eyes are watering. Grandchildren and the report from Juneau, Alaska, dated October 6, 1960. Checking account, First National Bank of Juneau. October the 15th, 59, check with balance for last annual report, $1,644.03. These files from September the 6th, 59 to October 1st, 1960, $3,151.99. A total of $4,796.02. Checks drawn during period November 9th, 1959 to September 28th, 1960, $2,978.28. Check book balance on October the 2nd, 1960, $1,817.74. Savings account number 3579 at Alaska Federal Savings and Loan Association, Juneau. October the 15th, 59 balance, $6,277.97. Interest credits, December 31st, 59, and June 30th, 1960, $197.25. On April the 5th, 1960, transfer from the second checking account was $1,000. On October the 2nd, 1960, the balance was $7,475.22. At the First National Bank in Juneau, for safekeeping, one Juneau Cold Storage 5% bond due October the 2nd, 1960, with April and October interest coupons attached, $1,050. Bond matured but not paid as of October the 6th, 1960. Reason, the FNB has no funds on deposit in the cold storage account to pay same. Summary of assets, cash and checking account, First National Bank, as above, $1,817.74. Savings account as above, $7,475.22. The bond of Juneau Cold Storage Company, $1,050. Grand total, $10,342.96. Signed by Walter P. Heisen, Grand Treasurer.
Has the auditing committee examined that, ready for report? Any member of the auditing committee here? Bill Evers was the chairman.
He said he wouldn't be here until about 9:30 or
about 9:30.
Later.
Well, 9:40, but they're not in late Stockton, so I couldn't complain if he's late getting here. But in that report, the trustees will note the default of the bond, and might be wise to press the cold storage company or the whoever put the bonds out. But we need the money. Not that we need it because water reports good, we don't want it to be in default. The water, this will be his last report, as I told you the other day, that he's signing. Judge Arnold tells me that in water service, it's mandatory they retire at 70. The water will be 70 pretty soon. Now, of course, water is a few weeks younger than I am, but there's no mandatory retirement for me. I'm not going to. You see, the old saying is that the devil finds mischief for idle hands to get into. Well, see, after living a good life, at least lately, I wouldn't want to be idle and have my hands in the mission. One of my interests in permanent days, so I'm going to keep working. We await then the report of the auditing committee until they appear. Now the next order of business, as I've worked it out, is report of the grand president. Now I'm required to make a report under Article 4, Section 1. I made this report, it's all in longhand. The trouble is I've got to read. I made it in the hotel room after the various cocktail hours, and I'm not too sure that I'd read my own writing, but I'll do the best I can. Now, it's going to be dry, I can tell you that. My eyes won't water what I feel when I read it, because it's too dry. But I've got to do it anyway. And you have to bear with me. And anybody who wants to go to sleep in the meantime, you're perfectly welcome to do it. Not the first time you've gone to sleep on it. Now, brothers and sisters, be serious. I can't do it. It is with deep regret that I am presiding at this session of the Grand Union. I say deep regret. When the Grand President Arthur Rufo looked forward to this session. Now at this time, I want all the delegates to rise and pay a silent tribute for a moment to Arthur Rufo's memory. Could not follow Arthur's wishes in that respect. Now, of course, that doesn't mean anything to you, but I do owe to all of you the explanation why I have not done what Arthur wanted done and why I have not done the work that I wanted to do and I hope to do. Now, of course, I have this proposal for to get the property of the igloos no longer in existence, to get that in shape. And that was the first piece of business I did after I got back in my office, the latter part of August to the 1st of September, because it weighed upon my mind and my conscience wouldn't let me forget it. So I did. And that part was presented. And the resolution committee have acted upon it, and we submitted to the body of the delegates later on. Now, if any of the delegates want to change it, they shouldn't hesitate. Or if any member of the resolution committee wants to change it. Because I say I did it when I was really not back in the office with my feet under the desk and going along where I should go. That's what I hope to have from that, was just a starting point for the issue to the office to work with. I was studying the Constitution, and I did take the Constitution and the rituals to Portland with me, not knowing how long I'd be down there. And it did seem to me that there was not sufficient or efficient provision. And it provides the carrying on of the business of the Grand Igloo between the sessions in the event of death of one of the Grand Officers. Now, as I read to you, Section 6 of Article 3, Fairbairn Anchorage has come in with a proposed change. They told me what it was, of course, before it was brought in. That was one that I really approve of, and I think it should be voted upon the table as the nominating committee or the resolution committee has recommended. Now again, I thought the Constitution should be changed. And I could see no reason for Max McGilvery and Irene McGilvery and myself to take up the various changes which had been made heretofore and have the Constitution reprint. And then at the end of this session, have something printed or typed into the resolution, the newly printed resolution. I thought it was a waste of time and money to do it. So that was one of the reasons why I did not go ahead and have Max and Irene do more work on the printing and the drafting of that Constitution. Actually, what I wanted to do before I found out how much work was going to be required, and that I felt sure that the change would come about this session. I had planned to draft the Constitution and then put it up in mimeograph form, send it to all the officers and to all the auxiliaries and agents for any suggestions they might have, or if we had overlooked anything, why they could call our attention to it. And I still plan to do that. I don't expect to be on the committee, but I will tell the new Grand President that I will be glad to work with his committee, because I do have some background on what should be done. I've been working up on the Constitution and the ritual to get a good idea of what I thought accomplished the purpose. And I'll continue to do that as long as I'm able. But don't get too lazy. I know that Max and Irene have thought about the changing and the printing. Since they have some background also, then it is my recommendation to the new Grand President that he appoint them there. Some of their work is already done. And then appoint another member of the Ketchikan group to be the third member of the committee. Now I say that for the same reason that Arthur Lutrow appointed the three of us in the beginning. If we try to do it by correspondence, we never will get all pitch. And I tell you this, when you go to work on that, you've got to all sit down at the table and work together. And so that would be my suggestion to the next prime minister. Now, I have another suggestion to make. And that is one with reference to the records of the Grand Israelman issue. It seems to me that our records have some historical value. Now, if you remember, Dr. Chase one time reported of the fire of his office. They didn't lose very many, but a lot of the records were water damage. And I wanted to bring it to the attention of the next Grand President that he or the trustees get in touch with the officials of the University of Alaska and seek their cooperation in placing the records in the library at the university. The library is going to be there from time on. The librarians are trained, they can catalog. And then later on, when we're all gone, which will be some time from now, of course, when we are gone, why, any of the members in the future have some place to go to or seek information of what we did in the earlier days, the days of the paragraph, the first day of the speech. That is, of course, a suggestion only. If the floor wished to so direct the new Grand President, why, they can put him to work. Not that he won't have plenty to do, but then they put a lot on me, so I fix the next one too. You see, we're growing all the time, and we're continuing to grow. It's not only those people who came 25, 26, 27 years ago that want to join the pioneers, and we have a lot of them. We have a lot in Ketchikan. Every once in a while they say, well, two more years and I'll be able to join the pioneers. And I presume that this community know of people that come to the telephone. They're going to be able to join two or three years more. And then, of course, we have our sons coming on. And they don't want to be members. Like my son Bobby over here. Now, he had a little advantage with me. I didn't become active in our Aikido until sometime last war. My wife here? Yeah. Oh, I'll tell it anyway. But I had to be in Seattle and I was at the Olympic Hotel. It's not on the notes. And Sunday morning, of course, they only had breakfast and that horseshoe. Well, I got there, two seats, and I took one. Shortly after that, then, lady came in with a though vaguely about 1 year old. The only vacant seat was the one right next to me. She occupied that chair, but she had a little baby on her lap. He grabbed my shoulder, and she took it away from him. Then, just as soon as I finished and got my check done, I'll hold the youngster for her so she can have her breakfast in peace. Now, there's no ulterior motive, you know, I'm just trying to be good. And at that time, on Sunday, I'd been working hard that week and hadn't had a chance to get a haircut. I didn't have the gray hair as I do now. It's just gray when the hair got a little long. And I had been unable to get a haircut. So there wasn't a gray hair. Well, I finished and thought I'd ready to reach over and get the kid. And he grabbed my finger. I had on the table, you know. And she took the little boy's sign away. She says, "Well, I know why he's so attracted by you. You look just like his grandfather." Well, now I thought, well, gee, then I ain't too old to take care of anybody's kids. I take care of them. So I got my check and went on. I came back to Texas and then started to go after to find you. But I said, "Look over now. I'll buy you rest a little if you don't mind. I still have the authority to do it. I see you think son of Yuri." Yeah. Now I'm looking through the program. You see all these 10-inch stretches. That's M. Yuri. Yeah, that's M. Yuri. I asked who S.M. Yuri was, and they told me, "Oh, that's but it's all." So you see, and those are all good. They're excellent. We don't have to go outside anymore to find the people that do all the work. We can have our son start doing it, just like Solly has done here. And I tell you, it's very excellent. I'm rather proud of him hanging on to this. And before I get away, I want S.M. Yuri to put his name on one of them, which I want to retain. Well, that's digressing. But then the rest of you are in the same box. You all have sons who are coming along and becoming part of the pioneer group when they want to become part of it. Well, think our Governor Abe is doing here. Or pioneer kid too, you know. They all get up. Placing of our record in a safe place. They should be. Now the University of Alaska Library might not be proper, but my thought in that was that the Grand Recorder and the Grand Secretary are there, and there's going to be a lot of work for them to separate records, see where to go. So along with them in Fairbanks, well, I think it'd be better than I thought from having been attacked. So I say it's something that if you can think about, you don't have to do it. It's coming upon me in the State of the Union message, you know, to put my own ideas, and I just go right along and do it. Now, as the acting grand president, I have tried to let you know what I've done. That being one of the requirements of that article. I try to keep all the officers and the auxiliaries of Big News advised of my thoughts and what I was doing. Of course, I happen to have the equipment, so that after my secretary writes them off once, we just run the sheets through. So it didn't do much work, but I really tried to keep your advice. And I've had some good assistance from the other officer this time. express my thanks to them for their aid, especially as to Theo and Lincoln. They're wonderful. I could write to them next mail, I'd have an answer. They can see that in the records. Right at the fingertips, they can quote me what documents they knew that was done in and just what was done. So I say I'm very thankful for that. It helped me out a great deal. Now, in attempting to get the properties of igloos not in existence straightened out, before I went south, I wrote to Linda and Theo, and from their records they sent me the names of the last members and officers of any of these igloos or auxiliaries, they're all igloos, not in existence. Then I followed that up by writing to the postmasters in each community where they were at their igloo. Now, I had replies from everyone. Everyone sent me a reply. They remembered some, but it was impossible to find out because of the years that have passed past the present location of those who had moved away. They did give me certain names that said that they had died. They didn't know them, but they knew that they had died. So at this time, I want to make my report an official thanks to those postmasters for their cooperation. They didn't have to do that. But I think since it was the grant that the 5 years of Alaska, they went out of the way to do more than they were required to do. And I wish to thank them, and if all these records eventually go into some place where they're kept safely, why I want to be here.
One minute before I
came to take it. Gee, that's good. Okay. I missed it. Speed it up so I can get it. Now, in working on the ritual, I think I explained that in letters to victims and officers. If not, I explained it to officers in my letters. The difference in the ritual for the igloo and the ritual for the auxiliary. The records, as far as we have them last year, authorized the committee to work on the ritual for the igloo only. Those instructions should be enlarged to tell us to work on the ritual of auxiliary also. The ritual of auxiliary is a little more formal. Now there's no difference in the purpose of the two rituals at all. The ideas are the same all the way. But the ladies are a little more formal than we are, and I think that's the way they want it. If it is the way they want it, then they should be entitled to do what they do. But that'll be up to the new president to direct them to what should be done. Now again, there's another thing that Arthur had started. The naming of a mountain, Mount Anthony Dyke, after our beloved brother, my very good friend, Tony Diamond. Well, that was one of the things I wanted to continue, and I did. And with the cooperation and assistance of our congressional delegation, all of them, Senator Green, Senator Bob Bartlett, and Representative Rivers, there is now a Mount Anthony Diamond collection. So at least I was able to follow up.